Here we go. It's the 50-50 podcast presented by our proud sponsors, College Promoters USA. College Promoters USA, America's premier college prep program and high school student athlete marketing service since 1997. They are based out of here in San Antonio, Texas. Make sure you look them up. You can find them at collegepromotersusa.com. You can also find them on Twitter at SATX Recruiting, as well as on Instagram at College Promoters USA. My next guests, I am proud to introduce Coach Angel Hernandez and Victor Valle. They are the head boys and girls soccer coaches at El Paso Franklin High School. Coaches, how are you?
Good on you, Coach. We're doing good. We're doing good. Thank you for the invite.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're blessed to have you, lucky to have you. Hey, and we're blessed to finally be back after a very, very extended long break as we were moving across the state. We're excited to finally get going. You know, we had one live broadcast with our proud sponsor, president of College Promoters USA, Greg Smith, back at the end of July. But other than that, this is really our first broadcast in 2 months. And I couldn't be more excited than to have a couple of fellow El Paso boys on here. So glad to have you guys on here. So let's dive right in, coaches. So Coach Hernandez, Coach Valle, tell us, give us a little bit of insight just briefly on kind of your backgrounds, but more importantly, just kind of what, you know, how you guys got to where you are now. You are, again, you guys are newly appointed coaches for the boys and girls soccer programs, men's and women's soccer programs there at El Paso Franklin High School. So give us a little bit briefly about your background, but also how you got here, essentially.
So yeah, Coach. So actually, I mean, I was born here in El Paso. I was here all the way till I was 18 and then left for college to play, you know, to go play college soccer. I was there for five years. Playing soccer at college. As far as soccer here in El Paso, I played for a few club teams. I actually played for LC United in Cruces. I played for Cosmos under actually the current coach in Better High School, Coach Delgado. I also played for the El Paso Patriots, the youth team, and also the PDL team. While I was in college, I was lucky enough to go play in Europe for a bit. I was there actually for a whole summer in Romania and Spain, you know, trying to, you know, pursue that dream, you know, of going pro, but it didn't happen, you know, so, you know, we're back here in El Paso. After college, I was able to go to Houston. That's where I actually got my first job, my teaching at a high school over there. I actually also served as a girls' head coach for the last 8 years. And you know, I mean, I left home when I was 18. Now I'm going to be 33 this year. So, you know, it's been about 14 years since I left home, you know, and at some points I wasn't going to come back, you know, when I didn't plan to come back this soon. You know, I plan to be to stay in Houston for at least, I don't know, 5 years more, probably six more years, you know, but things change, you know.
Absolutely.
Things change, you know, with the whole COVID thing. You know, it was tough for my family and me, you know, so me and my wife, you know, we actually had a talk and we're like, you know what, you know, if we're going to move, you know, it's now. You know, so actually we made that choice back in early January, you know, so I started to apply to different positions. And then Franklin came up and I was like, you know what, well, you know, I actually want to apply, you know, I mean, I want a new challenge for me. Back in Houston, we actually both started the programs there, you know, from the ground up, you know, there was no programs established for both boys and girls, you know, so we actually got them up, you know, and running from the ground up, you know. But now, you know, we want a different challenge, you know, and I saw Franklin, I saw what Franklin had done in the previous 10 years, you know, of always winning district, going to area, but not actually, you know, jumping that 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 obstacle of going to Sweet 16, you know. And I was like, you know what, for me, you know, that's a challenge and something, you know, that I want to bring over to the table and help this team grow, not just here in El Paso, you know, but throughout the whole state, you know. So I applied for the job. We actually both drove here, you know, to El Paso back in late May, I think.
Yes.
Late May, you know, and we came here, and I mean, things went really well, you know, I mean, because we're here, you know, we're here. So, but yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's a bit of my background, you know, and you know, how I got here to Franklin.
For myself, actually, a little bit about both of us is that our resume, if you see it on paper, it's pretty much the same thing. We're best friends since we were like 14, 15 when we started playing club soccer at El Paso Patriots. And since then, I mean, our resume, when it comes to on paper, it's pretty much the same thing. Only thing that changes, I was born in Ciudad Juarez, Chihuahua. Around 7, 8 years old, that's when my family decided to move to El Paso, attended Riverside High School, graduated in Riverside High School in 2007, decided to play for Houston Leones, which is also a USL team, like Patriots or El Paso Locomotives, for a year. And then after that year, that's when Valle called me to invite me to go to the University of Southwest. I said, yes, education is first. So I decided to go to college, get my education first. Then we both went to Europe as well. Graduated from college, and we were both lucky enough to go to Houston, same school, same soccer program. He got the girls' side, I got the boys' side. So everything's the same. But for me, my plans were not to come back to El Paso. I mean, thankfully, the soccer program, when it comes to the boys' program, was very established. My job was very established. I had my house already. So we just had a meeting with Mr. Seifert, who was the one who gave us the opportunity for Franklin High School. And we just had a meeting with him like an hour ago, and we were telling him, like, in my side, if you would have told me back in March, like, hey, you're going to go live in El Paso starting this fall, I would have been laughing, because I had no plans to be coming back. But around April, that's when I saw the opening here at Franklin High School. And I said, if there's going to be one school that I'm willing to move, it's going to be Franklin High School. It's in the west side. I truly miss the mountains. Maybe right. You can relate. So I was like, you know what, Mr. Seifert gave me the opportunity. Every day he was calling us during the summer, coaches, we need an answer, coaches, yes or no. So I really appreciate that, because he did the impossible to get us here. And for that, I mean, I'm grateful. And I mean, that's a little bit of my background. I mean, I would have never imagined to be here in El Paso, but what better place than Franklin High School?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, yeah, it is an interesting story, because when you look, when you look at you all, as far as how your kind of careers have literally shadowed each other, it's like, man, are these guys brothers or what? They're like, they follow each other everywhere. So, it's pretty awesome. That's a pretty, you know, and then of course, both, you know, both positions there at Franklin just so happen to open up simultaneously. And so that's pretty awesome timing. You know, it's kind of shows that things were meant to be for you all. And I can definitely say I miss, you know, having just left there. You know, in full disclosure, I lived about 2 minutes from Franklin High School, right there, right at the foothills of the Franklins as well. So I love the mountains, miss them already. So yeah, I can definitely know where you're coming from on that, for sure. So So, you know, we talked a little bit about your return to El Paso, and Coach Hernandez, you hit a little bit on it as far as if you were going to leave or if you were going to come back to El Paso, it would be a job like Franklin. So, excuse me, you guys are stepping into different circumstances, right? You know, Coach Valle, you're going into, you know, a perennial power in the region on the women's side. We're, you know, district, you know, multi-time district champion. I think the background there in the locker room kind of speaks for itself, yeah, a little bit there, right? But then also, you know, but they've had a series of coaches, right, over the last couple of years, right? Yeah. And then whereas Coach Hernandez, you're stepping in into a program that is, you know, a lot of people consider with a ton of talent, right? But that have just, they haven't been able to kind of connect, right? They haven't been able to quite connect the way they probably should. But you're also stepping in and you're replacing, you know, a longtime coach there in Coach Montes. So those are very different. Those are polar opposites almost, if you will. Yeah. So what was it that, you know, attracted you to Franklin? You know, why Franklin? And when you really look at the situations that you're stepping into respectively, what are your thoughts on that? What, I guess, what was it that attracted you to that?
I mean, from my side, again, I had no plans of coming back from to El Paso, but once I saw the position for boys Franklin High School, once again, for me was, if I'm going to come back to El Paso, it's going to be on the west side because I truly miss the mountains. I really want to be close to the mountains. But, I mean, back in high school, I mean, we played them a couple of times during my 4 years, and they had a lot of potential. I mean, when we were playing at El Paso Patriots, there was a lot of players from Franklin High School who were really, really good. But, I mean, if you look at the boys' side, the last 5 years, they haven't even qualified to the playoffs. So when I go to the stats, I mean, they're finishing fifth place. So they're not a bad program either. But something that made me say, okay, yes to Franklin was when I interviewed for the position and I started looking at the facilities. I started looking at the potential that this school has. I mean, without a doubt, I truly believe that if we do things right, and the boys buy into the program, I mean, in 2-3 years, I see this program at the same level as the girls, but also contending for the state playoffs, because it has the potential. It's just, and I'm guessing we're going to be talking about it as we move on, but it needs a lot of organization. And that's what we're working for as of now. A lot of organization, building a strong foundation so we can move from there. But the potential, I mean, we've had here 6 weeks already with the team, or the teams. And from the boys' side, I mean, I can tell you there's a lot of talents, but we need a lot of organization. So when it comes to my side, something that I said yes was because administration did the impossible to get me here. And for that, I'm grateful. And because as soon as I got here and they showed me the school, the facilities, the weight room, everything, I mean, there's no way why we are not being successful. So that for me was a challenge. You know what? I'm going to leave my comfort zone and I'm going to go to an unestablished program, building from scratch, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the thing too is you guys, and I know you all already know this, you've realized this in a short time, but you really are blessed there in terms of, you know, you talked about, you know, your AP, they're in charge of athletics, Mr. Seifert, phenomenal guy, phenomenal administrator. But then, you know, also, you know, you have Miss Mena there, your principal. And then as well as, of course, you know, your athletic coordinator there and Coach Walker, who, you know, he's continues to be in our, you know, in our thoughts and prayers. I hope he's doing better. So, yeah, from that standpoint, and, you know, and I know Mr. Seifert really well, great guy. So he will, you know, he's all about in terms of that whole student experience and wanting to make sure that, in terms of his student athletes, that they get, that they can get the absolute best coaches. Right. So you guys are definitely blessed there for sure.
Yeah, that's right.
So in your short time, you know, you all have been there. So now 6 weeks, school year started, you all come in. What was it like those first, maybe that first time meeting the teams or those first couple of meetings, and where are you all at now?
So that, you know, that first day, you know, it was different, you know, because, again, you know, we're used to our program, you know, back in Houston, you know, pretty much, you know, we've known those players since they were like in sixth grade, you know, we've had them, you know, we've had, you know, so players already knew, you know, what to expect from us, you know, as coaches, as teachers, as persons, you know, we also knew, you know, what to expect from them. We already had that bond, you know, established on that connection, that rapport. You know, but now coming into to a whole different high school, to a whole different program, you know, especially mine, you know, that a program that's already established, you know, that's, you know, that's successful, you know, so that first week, it was different, you know, as far as, you know, girls, the girls program have not had a coach who's been them, you know, for more than two years. Over the past, I think, 4 years, there's been a coach every single year, you know, so that consistency is not there, you know. So again, you know, I get in here on day one, you know, and, you know, girls do not know, you know, what I'm to expect from me, you know, how am I going to be like, you know, am I, I don't know, I'm hard, am I soft, am I good? Am I strict, you know? So that first week, it was a little bit, you know, or actually the first, I want to say 2-3 weeks, you know, they were tough because that connection, you know, that rapport with the girls, it was still not established, you know. Girls were still more going, we know, with coach Rama for questions, for concerns, rather than me, which again, you know, is totally understandable. You know, because again, I've just been here for 6 weeks, you know, so that was tough, you know, trying, you know, to set, you know, or it's still tough trying to set, you know, that connection with them. But as the weeks have gone on by, you know, I feel that slowly it's growing, you know, slowly, you know, now we're talking more, you know, girls now come up more to me for questions, you know, for advice, you know, and so forth. So slowly, you know, it's been growing. Coach said, receiver has been great so far, you know, ever since that first call, you know, being supportive, you know, making us feel like if we were like the best coaches, the whole world, you know, just being positive, you know, and so forth, you know, so, I mean, that was great. And as far as me, you know, I wanted something different. You know, I wanted something, you know, where I don't want to say something easy as far as established, you know, because knowing me, you know, I'm somebody who worked hard, you know, but I wanted a different challenge, you know, not really to build a program from the ground up, you know, but something that was more established and see where I can take it on from there. You know, I did some research, and for example, last year, nationally, Franklin ranked 364th place in the nation. In Texas, a girls ranked 120th place in the state. You know, so that's something, you know, that I do want to help, you know, to build and grow, you know, so that maybe not this year, of course, but maybe the next 2 years or 3 years, you know, we are ranked in top 10. Not just in the state, you know, but also and the whole nation, you know. So that's what I'm looking for. I'm trying to not just keep here that winning tradition, a winning district every single year, you know, but breaking that barrier, you know, and showing East Texas, hey, you know, that we're here too, you know, not just those big schools in East Texas.
Right. Well said. Absolutely. Well said. Got a little quick comment here from Cell. I'm not going to pronounce all of that. HDZJR is, what is the goal for this season? So when you guys look at that, you know, I don't know, and you can go a number of directions with that, right? As far as ultimate goal, one particular goal, one short term, one long term. But when you see that question on the surface, how would you answer that?
I mean, you said it right at the beginning of the podcast. I mean, both programs are at a way different level. When it comes to the boys program, my first objective was sit down with the players and just give me feedback. Okay, what's going on? I mean, there's no reason why we are not at least making it to the playoffs. There's a lot of potential. There's a lot of talent. So for the goal for this season is, And we're every single day I'm letting the players know the intensity, the consistency, everything that we do. We have to have that mindset that we're going to make it to playoffs. So we got to start sending a message to the 6A district level here at El Paso that, hey, the last four teams that were last year, I mean, someone's going to have to go down because Franklin is coming. So there's no reason why we're not going to be able to qualify to playoffs. So starting since day one, I told the players, our mindset is make it to playoffs. Then if we can have the shot or the opportunity to win district, only time will tell as we get close to finishing that marathon. But mindset right now for the boys program is build a strong foundation, tackle discipline, because that was an issue on previous years, which we have been able to fix that tremendously. The intensity, consistency during the practices have been great. The players as of now, they're buying into the program. I have no complaints from them. They're going 200% every single day inside of the field, outside of the field, classes, yes sir, no sir, everything good so far. I have no complaints from the boys' side. And I told them, we're going to qualify to playoffs, yes or yes. So for this year is make it to playoffs. And then 2-3 years from now, if we're able to develop our freshman team, one of my objectives that I want to do in the long term is have close ties with our feeder middle schools, potentially have the same system, developmental system. So once they get to high school, they know the system of play that we're Franklin High School is playing. And then I don't see why not. Once again, this school has all the resources, facilities, potential to be a state contender. So long term is be a state contender in the state of Texas. But for this year, just giving you guys a heads up for the 6A district, we're going to make it to playoffs. So we'll go from there.
All right. Bulletin board material already here on the podcast. Yes, I love it. Coach Valle, what are your thoughts to that in terms of goal for this season?
I mean, Coach, you know, he said it well, you know, mindset. You know, girls here at Franklin, like, you know, for the past years, I was with district, you know, but that's it. You know, so here in El Paso, I mean, here in El Paso, we can compete, you know, and pretty much, you know, here in El Paso, you know, Franklin is at the top dog, you know, but I mean, can we compete going into the others, you know, in Houston, you know, Austin, and so forth, you know, so I think it was day two that we actually had our first practice, and I told him straight up, girls, there is no reason why in the world, you know, why we cannot have a deep run instinct, you know, because soccer wise we have it, you know, but it's just here, you know, just, you know, of actually not only believing in yourself but in your teammate, you know. So our main goal this year is to break that barrier and go to Sweet 16, you know, and then from there, I mean, just going in with the good game plan, you know, and players believing in what we can do. I mean, there is no reason why we can have a deep run in states, you know. I mean, I believe in what I can do, and I believe in also my players, you know. So I'm trying to instill that, you know, hey, you know, think I'm positive. You know, think positive, you know, think, you know, of not only being good here in El Paso, you know, but also being good in East Texas and then going over there and then actually showing them, you know, what we can do, you know, because on the boys side, we already have San Isidro, we already have Belair, we have the Estel Valle, of course, and Coronado, who've all been state champs. You know, but as far as girls' sides, there still has not been one team, you know, who's won state. You know, so that's, yeah, I mean, this year, next year, for our third year, I mean, that's our main goal, you know, state. And again, you know, there is no reason why we cannot make that push, you know, for state.
Yeah, you know, and that's well said, Coach Valle, because, excuse me, you know, the irony is San Antonio and El Paso are very similar in terms of, on the boys' side, they've been able to break through with state champions, and on the girls' side, they just haven't had that same luck. So that's very much, you know, and if there's any school that's probably most well positioned in terms of program, of course, with the right coach and everything else, you know, a lot of people feel, a lot of people believe it should be Franklin, right? Yeah. On the girls' side. So absolutely. A couple of comments here from Noah Barunda. He says, good luck, guys. You have the best program in El Paso. Drive the ship correctly. And then Mary Lou Hernandez, it is great to see two great coaches in the Sun City supporting our youth. We also have a question that just came in from Alba Rivadeneira, I think that is. How do you all as coaches overcome challenges and obstacles with the players and as a team? What are your thoughts on that?
One of the things that I did coming into the program was set expectations, code of conduct. Everything is on paper. Parents had to sign the paper. Players had to sign the paper. We had a meeting over it. So everybody knows the expectations starting this school year, how the boys program of Franklin High School should be running. But when it comes to overcome those obstacles, it goes back to what I just said previously. We got to turn that mindset, okay? Because I truly believe that for the last 5 years, there has been a lot of potential and talent when it comes to the boys' side, but they don't believe in the program. They're not buying into the program. They're not. Right. When I came in, there was no school pride. So one of the things that I did was, as of now, they're having to remember a poem called Test of a Man that talks about obstacles, overcoming obstacles, not only in soccer, but in life. I had to do some school pride questions where the boys right now, they're having to go to the Franklin website. When was Franklin High School founded? Who was the name of your principal? What year did the building open? Because I truly believe that if you know who you are truly representing, then you can go ahead and overcome any obstacle during the season, but also in life. So everything that I did at the first day of school was, we gotta hit the paper first. Okay, know who we are, sign the paper, because if you're gonna commit to the boys program, you are gonna commit 100%. I do not wanna see players coming in and coach, well, I can't do this today, or I have this or I have that. No, I mean, your priority starting today should be the boys of Franklin High School, because I've told them since day one, I told the parents as well. And like I said it earlier, I mean, I had no intentions to come back to El Paso, but once the opening was here and I had the opportunity to come back, I said yes. I left everything in Houston. I said yes to the challenge. And from my side, you guys are going to get 200%. And I'm going to be here early. I'm going to be here late at night. If I don't have to eat, I'm okay with it, but I'm going to do the impossible to get the boys ready for season. Now, as of now, as I mentioned before, I mean, I have no complaints about the boys. I mean, they have been working hard in the classroom, in the field, so I have no complaints. So as of now, we haven't had any issues of, okay, well, what are we going to do or what's going to happen? But if one day it's going to arise, well, it goes back to the code of conduct that we just did here at the Franklin High School.
Right.
And parents bought into the program, boys bought into the program. I did as well. So everybody becomes a family now.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah, for sure. You know, and that's great stuff. You know, that's culture building, right? Culture implementation. It can be heavy lifting, whether, you know, what, you know, in both cases, right? You guys are walking into different situations, but it's definitely still heavy lifting for sure. So, so next question that I have for both of you, I know Coach Hernandez just kind of put all of District 16A on notice a few minutes ago, but, what are your thoughts, you know, when you look at it just in terms of now, right? Not so much what you remember, but now, and kind of looking at the landscape there, just not just District 16A, of course, but also just El Paso High School soccer as a whole right now, when you look at it across the city and programs and just kind of what's your evaluation of the district that you all compete in and 16A, but also maybe El Paso High School soccer.
So you know, and overall, it's grown. You know, I mean, that's clear. You know, I've been talking a lot to the girls, you know, just trying, you know, to have a feel, you know, and a sense, you know, of where teams were at last year. I've been seeing the Max Press ranking of also, you know, last year, you know, and so forth. So as far as high school soccer, you know, it's grown a lot. Now we have not just 2 or 3 club teams, but now there's 6, 7, 8 club teams, whether it is Cosmos, whether it is Premier, whether it is FC Dallas, you know, on the boys' side, you know, so I mean, it's grown a lot. We have players going out to college. Just this last Thursday, we actually went to go see the Utah game against NMSU, and there was one of our love mother, Bianca, I forgot her last name, you know.
Bianca Chacon.
Yeah. There you go. Yes, you know. So now players are not just going to high school and that's it, but players are going to now college and playing in college, you know, and not just, you know, need college, you know, but going to D1s, you know, like NMSU or UTIP. It's again, it's clear that it's grown, you know, on the boys' side. As of right now, we have about 6 players who are from El Paso, like Pepe. You know, Pepe just scored a goal last week against Honduras. We got Munoz from Santos that just left to Newcastle. Yeah. You know, so I mean, now players are actually, you know, coming up. Back in our times, you know, that coaching or that exposure, it was not there. You know, it was minimal. You know, by now things are changing and have changed. You know, and players are getting better prepared as far as coaching. You know, coaches who used to play with us, you know, either at Patriots, you know, or so forth. Now they're also coaching, either at their own academies, you know, or with FC Dallas, you know, or so forth. So now players are getting better prepared, you know, not just with their soccer skills, you know, and so forth, but also mentally, you know, and as people, you know. So as a whole, El Paso soccer, I mean, it's coming up, you know, it's making a big sound, you know, everywhere, because now coaches are coming here, you know, to look for players, whether it is for an academy or a college team, or even, you know, to scout, to try to, you know, get a player to either go somewhere in Mexico or the MLS. Actually, last week, there was a player on boys' side who also just signed at the Locomotives.
Yeah, so actually adding to what Coach Biden was saying, I totally agree. Everything has changed when it comes to the exposure of the players. Can we actually do better? Absolutely, yes. But we have progressed when it comes to player exposure here in El Paso. But adding something that Coach Valle was saying, I have one of my seniors right now who is the most experienced player when it comes to the varsity level. His name is Noe Coutinho. And he just signed. There was 5 players for the El Paso Locomotives who signed a USL Academy contract. And he was one of them. And I mean, we're really proud of him.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you. And a very, very good kid, very talented. Yes, sir. No, sir. Academically perfect. And one of the things that I did once I got here to Franklin was meet with the seniors. Well, what's your mentality? Do you want to get soccer scholarships? What's your status right now? And when I talked to Noe Coutinho, he was like, no, coach, I'm good. I'm like, well, so it just threw me off having a senior saying no to soccer scholarships, but I didn't know that he was already set with the El Paso Locomotives. So something that I really like, and I didn't know this, but something that El Paso Locomotives is doing right now, they're signing players, academy players. So once they graduate from high school, they're going to be paying their tuition to go to El Paso Community College or UTIP. They're going to be paying their tuition, their books, everything. Meanwhile, they're playing with the El Paso Locomotives. So, I mean, when it comes to that, I mean, when it was back in early 2000s, we didn't have that. So I feel the exposure and just the opportunities have grown here in El Paso. That's something that when we got here, that's something that it just caught our attention, the the player's mentality was college. But in this case, with Noé, was, okay, well, I'm just going to stay with El Paso Locomotives. But it's okay because they're going to be paying his tuition as well.
Right.
And also, coach, on, yeah, based on what I've seen, the boys' side here in El Paso, I think it's a little bit more advanced than the girls' side. You know, again, examples. Okay, where they got about five players in the playing pro, either in Mexico or MLS, or in Europe, But as far as the girls' side, we still haven't had that player or those three players, who are actually playing, pro soccer either here in the U.S. or in Mexico or somewhere in Europe. So part of my job is not to help Franklin's girls' soccer, but try to help girls' soccer overall here in El Paso. I actually was talking to Coach B from UTEP, and that's something that we did discuss. Girls' soccer here in El Paso is still lacking something.
Mm-hmm.
What again? I'm still not quite sure. Something that I'm still trying to figure it out and work with. But as far as the boys' side, I think and I feel that it's probably a level up as far as the girls' side. And again, can measure it by high school. Again, Bel Air's already won state champions. El Valle has won about 3-4, Coronado, Esteli 2. But girls' soccer, there still has been none. Right. So again, as far as girls' soccer, there's still something that we are lacking. I don't know if it's the coaching. I don't know if it's the style of soccer that we want to play here. But there's just something, So again, that's also my job, to try to identify that, and help her grow and be better too.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's excellent point. That's exactly what we were hitting on, is trying to, increase, advocate for the programs there and trying to make that push for teams to start breaking through, right, on the girls' side, just like on the boys' side, for sure. Absolutely. That's well said. So a couple of comments here. You have a good friend of the podcast and co-host of the San Antonio Soccer Roundtable, Harry Austin, says, saying what's up and kind of giving some kudos to the show. Thanks, Harry. Appreciate you. And then also we have a comment here from, Aili Lele? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Awesome goal. Awesome goals, guys. Sounds like you two are truly passionate about soccer and have the knowledge to succeed with the teams. Well, welcome. So
thank you very much.
Well said. Another comment here from Albert Vasquez. La familia is here. Let's go, Angel.
There you go.
So you guys hit on a good amount of, we talked about kind of immediate and then goals for the season. Is there anything you guys kind of, as we start to transition here, is there anything else you guys want to add in terms of what can we expect from the Franklin Cougars in your respective first years?
When it comes to the boys' side, do we expect a team that is going to now have school pride, that is now going to be representing their crest as it's supposed to be since day one? I expect a team that is going to be playing soccer, not just kickball or just go long ball and then see, let's see what happens. No, right now we're hitting how to actually play soccer, how to build plays from the back. So do expect a team from the boys' side that will be playing soccer, that will have school pride and for sure is not going to give up from the beginning to the end of the game. So for year one, that's the expectation for the boys' side.
Yeah, so as far as the girls' side, I mean, Coach said it. We expect, our teams, either, both boys and girls, to be professionals, on the field, off the field, to fight. That's something that based on what I was told, about previous years, that's something that the girls did struggle with. Whether it was in Midland, trying to reach that next round, but but that fights, you know, in them, you know, to succeed, you know. So as far as my side, that's one thing, that's gonna be different this year, you know. Expect a team that's gonna fight from the whistle all the way to the 80th minute, you know. If we do lose, which might happen, you know, it's gonna cost that team blood, you know. I mean, because we're gonna fight. I don't want to say too much as far as our, you know, formation, you know, or you know, our style of play, you know. But to expect, you know, a team that's gonna be fast, you know, in transition, and that's pretty much, you know, that's pretty much that I must say as far as, you know, soccer, you know. But yeah, I mean, expect a team, you know, who's gonna have that grit, you know, to fight and to overcome challenges, you know, and you know, that's just gonna push and push.
Well said, guys. Yeah, that's for sure. And, you know, Coach Hernandez mentioned it as well, as far as being taking pride in defending that crest. And I got to add, humble brag, it's a lovely crest, I must add.
We have to give credit to 50-50 Podcast.
Yeah.
The original creator of Franklin High School crest.
You know, I'm glad to see I'm glad to see you guys adopted it. I really am. You know, the crew here, the team, we're glad to see that, you know, we take pride in the fact that you all adopted it. And then also, just, you know, full disclosure, you know, your programs, that school, you know, Franklin High School, kind of, you know, near and dear to my heart from the perspective of, you know, when that was the school that my daughter would have been going to, you know. So could have very well been playing for, you know, for Coach Valle there. So, you know, it's a good thing. I wish you guys the absolute best going forward, and kind of we're talking about putting District 16A on notice, and it's going to cost you blood. So I like it. Good stuff. All right, guys, so we're going to go ahead. I know you're going to stay with us for our next segment, our counterattack segment. For our listeners, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this quick pause. And welcome back to the 50-50 Podcast, presented by College Promoters USA. College Promoters USA, they are America's premier college prep program and high school student athlete marketing service since 1997. Based out of here in Texas, in San Antonio, they are the ones to see, to be able to market yourself, take your game to the next level, put you in front of college coaches and multiple opportunities. You can find them at collegepromotersusa.com, as well as on Twitter at SATX Recruiting, as well as on Instagram at collegepromotersusa. All right, so we're back with Coach Angel Hernandez and Coach Victor Valle, the head men's and women's soccer coach, the newly appointed head men's and women's soccer coaches at El Paso Franklin High School, home of the Cougars. So I hope you guys are ready. We're going to have some fun with you guys now. We got counterattack here, so pick on you guys a little bit. You guys represent Cougar Nation here. Have some fun with them. Make them proud. All right?
Sounds good.
All right. Okay, let's see. All right, so this one will apply. So all questions will apply to both of you. So what doesn't matter who goes first, who goes second, doesn't really matter. So, all right, first off, right off the bat, I usually ask, there's like two questions that I usually ask every single coach I have on here. So first one, any training session or game day superstitions or rituals?
You know what, Coach? Ever since I was playing, I was very superstitious. You know, if the very first touch on my foot on the ball, it was a bad touch, you know, in my mind, I was like, you know what? I'm done. You know, the whole game now is going to be a bad game. You know, so always, you know, always before that first touch, I always, you know, make sure to be focused, you know, so that first touch, it was clean, you know, because in my mind, if I had that first clean touch, a whole game, but, you know, it was going to be a good game, you know, right. So that was one thing, you know, that I did have growing up.
Yeah.
From my side, I really don't. The only thing that I do before I go to the team or before I go to the public, I just go in, close the door just by myself, and I do a quick prayer. I'm for sure going to do this on the first day of the first game of the season, because I'm already talking over here. So I need that blessing. I need that blessing. So, but something I usually do every single game is just close the door and just give a quick prayer.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Goes without saying, but, you know, I think it's an El Paso thing too, Coach Valle, cause I was very much the same way. And I preach it to my teams everywhere, you know, when I was there, you know, at Isleta and here as well, at St. Mary's Hall in San Antonio, I always tell my teams, I talk about when your first touch, right? When your first touch, that's kind of everything in terms of setting the stage, setting the tone. So, it's something that stuck with me all the way back from my days at, you know, at Bel Air. So, so yeah, I can definitely agree with that for sure. Yeah. So, all right, next one, guys, emojis, yes or no?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. What's the go-to emoji? What's the most used? What's the most popular one on your phone? If you go through all your text, which one is it?
Nothing on mine. It has to be the one of the glasses.
The big nerd looking one with the
no, actually, you know, just the one sunglasses? With the
the cool glasses. Guy, the cool,
yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, the yeah. Cool guy, exactly.
Yeah.
It goes back to, I mean, we're the same thing. I was gonna say the sunglasses.
Nice. The future is so bright, right?
It's too bright. You know, Coach, and it's crazy, you know, because growing up, you know, cell phones started to be popular when I was in high school freshman, but we had those little Nokia phones.
Yeah.
You know, so there was no emojis, you know, it was just trying to make your own emoji, you know, with either parentheses, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
But now, you know, that we have these, you know, these fancy little emojis, you know, it's always cool to go back to that little cool guy.
You know, I appreciate the fact that you guys are trying to talk as if you're old. I got like 10, 12 years on both of you guys, so I don't know about that one, but yeah, no, I feel you. I hear you. All right. Last book you read.
I still haven't finished the book yet. I started to read it in, I want to say early May. But with the whole move to El Paso, you know, planning, trying to sell the house, you know, painting and all that, moving the U-Haul, trying to come here to El Paso into our new home, you know, so forth. I still haven't been able to finish it yet. But I am reading or was reading Rich Dad Poor Dad.
What was that?
Rich Dad Poor Dad.
Oh, Rich Dad Poor Dad. Yeah, yes. Robert Kiyosaki. Yeah. Good read.
Yeah. For me, the last book I read was The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho.
Good book. Yeah. Good book.
It's a really good book.
Yeah. Very popular book amongst soccer coaches. Absolutely. Yeah. Good book. Awesome. All right. So next one, favorite movie quote. Favorite quote from a movie.
I don't know if it's a quote, but I love the movie Friday Night Lights. So something, and Coach Valle will always be making fun of me back in Houston, because since year one, I will tell the boys, be perfect. I don't know if you recall that Friday Night Lights was always, since preseason, was be perfect, be perfect. So, I mean, I don't know if that's a quote, but right. I mean, favorite one, I love Friday Night Lights, and something that it instilled in me was be perfect.
Nice. I like it. Coach Valle.
For me, I kind of remember the words, but not correctly. Yeah, it's by the movie. I think it's from Every Given Sunday, and it's with what's Al Pacino. The character, Al Pacino. You know, when, you know, whenever they're actually down, you know, and it's halftime, and he's saying something like, you know, we fight, you know, it's you go inch by inch, something like that. Again, you know, I don't really have the words, you know, but something, you know, that I could go back to, you know, and I like to, you know,
it's a game of inches.
No? Game of inches, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Even though soccer is not a game of inches, you know, but it's a game of goals, you know, and that's how I kind of like, I guess, compare. You know, it doesn't matter if we win by one goal or 10 goals, you know, I mean, winning is winning. You know, so in football, it doesn't matter if it's 1 inch or a yard, you know, if you actually do not get those 10 yards, I mean, yes, you guys can advance.
Right. Okay. Good, good. Yeah, both good movies, both football. Yeah. Really good football movies, yeah. All right, so, all right, next one. So both of you are appointed as, we'll call you guys the co-czars of soccer in America, all right? So you guys have like supreme say on anything and everything in terms of the sport in this country. What's one thing you'd change about soccer in America tomorrow?
That's a really good question. And you're putting me on a tight spot here because I just got to El Paso and some club coaches are going to get mad at me.
But you'll be all right. They got thick skin. You'll be all right.
Okay, there you go. Something that I would change immediately is the pay-to-play system. We grew up with that. It's still going on. So something that I would just eliminate starting tomorrow is the pay-to-play system. I just feel that it's not right. You're taking a lot of players who are talented, but maybe they don't have the resources to be on the team, and they're missing out. Now, little by little, MLS is taking it away with their youth system and their academies, but we're still not there. So, I mean, if we ultimately want to compete against the rest of the world, we got to allow everybody to play. And everybody needs to have the same opportunity to develop their skills. Yeah. That's something that I will do.
Yeah. Good. Well said.
Yeah. That's actually, you know, something that we do to, discuss often, you know, especially when it's the U.S. against, example, El Salvador, and we tie 0-0, you know, or against Canada, you know, and we tie 1-1, you know, which is countries that, you know, that on paper, you know, I mean, we are 10 times, you know, better than them, you know, and we know we've both come to the conclusion, you know, that is that, you know, something that we both will do, you know, is that, you know, from day one, get rid of that system, because it's only affecting players, you know, affecting players who don't have the money to actually pay. In Houston, whether it was Houstonians or Space City, you know, those teams are expensive to play in, you know, and you're talking about not $1,000 per year, you know, it's more like 4, 5, 6, you know, grand per year. Once you add your jerseys, your tournament fees, you know, your travel expenses, your tournaments, you know, all that. Oh, yeah. So there's a ton of players, you know, who just cannot afford that, and who are awesome players, you know, with, you know, tons of potential, you know, talents, you know, but if they cannot afford that, you know, I mean, they cannot be seen, you know. So that's one thing, you know, that we both would eliminate.
Okay, who would play you in a movie? We're telling your life story here in a movie, and some actor is going to get tasked with playing you. Who would it be? Well, you get to make the pick. Who would it be?
It has to be Brad Pitt.
You know, Coach, that's something, you know, that
we're always talking about it.
You know, we're like, hey, one day there's going to be a movie about us. One day. When? You know, I don't know when, you know, but one day there is going to be a movie about us, you know, and Coach always says Brad Pitt, you know, and me, I always say George Clooney.
Okay. All right. I think that's a first, actually, George Clooney.
Is it really?
Yeah. George Clooney, I think. Yeah. All right. Next one, bucket list destination, place you haven't been to yet that you need to go to, you want to get to before you kick the bucket.
And I just had this conversation with my mom a couple of weeks ago. One of the destinations that I really want to go is to Jerusalem, just to know the culture, all the history about the religion, everything. So it's just something that just catches my attention. Never been to, so I would love to go and just check it out.
Yeah. All right.
I love it. History, Coach. I mean, I love it. I don't teach it, you know, but I always try to, you know, to follow something either on YouTube or read something either online or a magazine, you know, just to like learn more. And one place where I really want to go to hopefully soon, it's Egypt. Nice. And you know, go visit the pyramid of Giza, the Sphinx, you know, and again, I'll try to like learn more about that culture and, you know, and that ancient city.
Okay, good, good. All right, and we got a little Cel Hernandez Jr. here is bashing on your confidence here a little bit, Coach Hernandez, talking about your confidence here in Brad Pitt. So another little comment here. Tell Coach Hernandez that Diego Garcia is saying to don't make us run tomorrow.
They're calling me out already, Coach.
Already, man, already. Wow. Yeah, so.
They're kind of sore because just last Friday they had to do their five-mile run. Uh-huh. So they're not that happy with me right now.
That's all right. It builds character, right? Builds character. So, all right. So next one, favorite. So during the pandemic, right? It's we're like, I don't know, we're month 19 or something like that into it. obviously everybody's been able to kind of binge watch at some point, right? So what's been during this entire time, what's been your favorite, whether it was Netflix, you know, Amazon Prime, what have you, what's been your favorite show that you've been able to binge watch during the pandemic?
Mine, I actually love Netflix. You know, I prefer Netflix over Hulu or Amazon Prime or any of those platforms. But me and my wife, we always go back to The Office. Always. You know, yeah, I mean, the reruns, you know, doesn't matter if you watch it 2 times, 3, 4, 5 times. I mean, to us, that was funny, you know, and also, you know, that helps us, you know, bring, you know, sometimes when we're too stressed out, you know, or just feeling down because of the whole, you know, just stuff, you know, that kind of helps us, you know, to like, you know, have that, I guess, you know, that, you know, laughter, you know, in us, you know, and bond, you know, and things like that. So yes, I was at The Office.
Nice.
One that I had already seen, but during the pandemic, I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna watch it again. It's a series from it's a Mexican one that it's called Club de Cuervos.
Okay, yeah.
But one that I really want to watch, and I'm gonna watch it before season begins, is because everybody's talking about it, is Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I haven't had the luck to watch it, but I'll definitely take a look at it.
How many seasons is Club de Cuervos in at this point? Like, I don't even know anymore.
Well, it's like four.
Is it four? I think I stopped after the second season. I didn't keep up with it for a while. So yeah, but yeah, Ted Lasso for sure. You kind of have to get on that one just because I think it'll surprise you. It's pretty surprising, but yeah. So I'm a little behind on the second season. I think I'm like 3 or 4 episodes in to the second season so far. So, yeah. So, all right, next one, guys. So, morning or a night person? Which one are you?
I'm definitely a night person. I'm not a morning person at all. Not.
Now I want to say night too. Night. I mean, I can stay up 12, 1 o'clock working, you know, and I'll be good following day.
Okay. All right. All right, last one here. I'm going to put you guys on the spot here. So down the road, we're completely back to normal or new normal, whatever, right? No more COVID restrictions, no more nothing. You got all the family coming over, a lot of friends. Maybe even the team is coming over. You're cooking. You're the chef, right? What are you cooking for dinner?
I'm going to the safe one, carne asada.
I think that's the go-to for a lot of coaches, man. Yeah. Get on the grill. The grill.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. For me, I mean, it's going to be that too or a discada.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Awesome. All right. Well, coaches, this has been great. You know, we've really loved having you guys on. You know, it's how fitting is it that our first regular broadcast here now that the podcast has moved to the Hill Country and here in San Antonio that we're talking to a couple of coaches in El Paso. So, you know, it's been great. Loved having you guys on. And is there, you know, any final thoughts, any final words you'd like to share with everybody, with our listeners?
No, I mean, just thank you for the opportunity. And hopefully, if you're in the El Paso Franklin community, hopefully you guys come watch and support the teams.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So again, I want to say thank you to Harry Seifert and the whole staff, you know, who made it possible, because it was not easy. You know, they actually went through, you know, through some struggles, scheduling, you know, and things like that. You know, but I mean, they made it work. And so far, you know, all of the Franklin staff, Mr. Seifert, Ms. Mena, Mr. Q, Ms. Bowser, you know, people here, you know, are lead teachers. You know, I mean, they've all been really helpful. Our coaches, whether it is Coach Bueno or Coach Estrada-Rama, I mean, again, you know, they've been really helpful and supportive, you know. So again, thank you. And again, you know, we do want to invite El Paso Wrestling, you know, to come see us play in January, because it's gonna be on, you know, it's gonna be on.
nice. Definitely looking forward to it for sure, guys. Have loved having you guys on. Quick question is, question from Albert Vasquez, how do I get on the sideline to watch Angel?
Just come to Franklin High School and he'll be here.
All right. So it's been great stuff, guys. Thank you so much. Really appreciate you guys. Appreciate you guys taking the time. Wish you nothing but the absolute best. So in your first seasons, and I know, as somebody mentioned on here earlier, it's definitely a great, great program. It looks like it'll be in great hands. So definitely we'll be following you guys as well. Thank you for your support of for the support of the podcast as well. Really appreciate it. So definitely that's what we're about in terms of Texas high school soccer, growing the game, being able to be associated with great coaches such as yourselves. So wishing you nothing but the best. Special thanks to our sponsor, College Promoters USA. Again, they are America's premier college prep program and high school student athlete marketing service since 1997. Located here in San Antonio, and you can find them again on Twitter at SATX Recruiting, as well as on Instagram at College Promoters USA. You can also look them up on their website at collegepromotersusa.com. So thank you again to Coach Hernandez, Coach Valle. Best of luck to the El Paso Franklin High School Cougars. Wishing you guys nothing but the absolute best and success in the upcoming year. And for our listeners, thank you again. Where you guys have been supporting us quite a bit, got a lot of good, feedback, got a lot of great requests in terms of, hey, when's the next episode? When's the next podcast? So we'll be kind of moving at a much quicker pace. Thank you for your patience. We really sincerely appreciate you all. We continue to grow. You know, we're coming up on, about to crack 1,000 followers on Twitter, and we're starting to gradually make our way into the Instagram side as well. So thank you for your support. Continue to support us. We continue to grow as a podcast, being listened to now in 10 different countries, which is something we're really proud of as well. So thank you for all your support. And until the next time, keep downloading and keep listening.
Yeah, Coach.